Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, economic, political, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. On today's program, I'd like to discuss the underlying issue behind this current war between those who want to continue with the COVID-19 lockdowns and those who would like to start opening up. You know, at first we might assume that this conflict is simply over people's different perceptions about safety, or different medical fears, or different understandings of biology, and those things factor in. But notice that the divide follows people's political ideology. Conservative Republicans are pushing to open up the country, while it tends to be Democrats who are working to keep it locked down. Why is that? Is it because Democrats are more concerned about health and Republicans are more concerned about money? Or is it because the Democrats believe the government must make health decisions while the Republicans believe in individual responsibility? This lockdown conflict is about deep philosophical moral arguments. What is the role of government? What is the role of the individual? Should there be personal or social responsibility? And it is those deeper moral issues that this program always tries to address, because that is where the Bible takes us, to these deeper spiritual issues. Throughout the Bible, God doesn't give us direct instruction for every situation, such as thou shall or shalt not lock down the country if there's a pandemic, and if so, for so many days. Instead, God gives us general moral principles by which we are to make these decisions. And God tests our values in this way, because it all comes down to one's worldview. What you believe about God and man and sin and redemption. There is a moral reason why it's generally true that those on the political left want to continue the lockdowns, and those on the political right want to open up, because there's a difference in worldview. And in this issue, it all comes down to what is called government paternalism. Are you for it? Are you against it? And why? Now, you notice the word paternalism has within it the word parent. And the issue is whether or not the government should be your parent. Or rather, how much should the government do for you versus how much you should do for yourself? And here's another issue. If the government does more for you than it should, is the government just making a procedural mistake? Or is it immoral for the government to do more for you than it should? Is it a sin? Is paternalism a violation of the law of God? Does it threaten or undermine righteousness in the land? Is paternalism the policy of the wicked, or is it the policy of the righteous? And where do we draw the line concerning what government should and should not do for us? I mean, the government is supposed to do some things for us. Romans chapter 13. It's called of God to be an avenger against evildoers. But does that mean it needs to do everything? Is the government to tell us where to work and how much we should get paid in order to stop evil or the potential for evil? Well, these are big questions that divide the society. And this is why America is polarized between the Democrats and Republicans, socialism versus free enterprise. So this week's program is about government paternalism. Now, this term is actually a pejorative, just like the label nanny state. Those who believe in statism, big government, would never call it paternalism. They would simply say that the state is doing what the state is supposed to do. Or they might even say that, yes, the state is supposed to be a parent. And the state is supposed to be a nanny in many things. And their argument is that if the government has fire departments and police departments and sanitation departments and dog catchers and road workers, then there is no reason why the state should not also run daycares and schools and healthcare and retirement and jobs and businesses and housing. In paternalism, without the moral law of God, there is no limiting principle except whatever appears to be expedient at any given moment. Christian conservatives would say, yes, there are limiting principles. There are laws concerning the role of government. And I'll discuss that shortly. But first, let's define this ideology of government paternalism. You will hear this term often. And you want to use this term in discussing these COVID lockdowns. You know, rather than just complain about the news, you can ask your friends and even critics, what are their opinions on government paternalism? What are the limits? And how do we determine the limits? Remember, the ultimate goal is not to preach the gospel of politics, but to move the conversation over to Christ, his kingdom, our sin, and his salvation. So let me begin with a philosophical definition of paternalism. Here's a quote from an Encyclopedia of Philosophy. Paternalism is the interference of a state or an individual with another person against their will and defended or motivated by a claim that the person interfered with will be better off and protected from harm. And this debate over paternalism involves issues such as anti-drug legislation, mandatory seatbelts, speed limits, etc. But in regard to COVID-19, we're seeing many examples of paternalism in practice. For example, let's take the executive orders of Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan. Like Newsom and Cuomo and Murphy, she is an example of lockdown mania, extreme government paternalism. Governor Whitmer ruled that all individuals currently living within the state of Michigan are ordered to stay at home or at their place of residence. Whitmer said, if you're not buying food or medicine or other essential items, you should not be going to the store. All public, private gatherings of any number of people occurring among persons not part of a single household are prohibited. And no person or entity shall operate a business or conduct operations that require workers to leave their homes or places of residence. Then there are pages after pages defining what are and are not essential businesses. Because once you claim that essential businesses can stay open, there must be pages explaining the criteria, but all those criteria are subjective. It's also not permitted to travel to in-state vacation homes or second homes. Large stores can only admit 4 customers for every 1,000 square feet of customer floor space. And hardware and home repair stores must close all areas dedicated to carpet, flooring, furniture, garden centers, plant nurseries, or paint. No motorboat or jet skis can be in use because for some reason that would spread the virus. So it's no wonder that Michigan has had some of the biggest political protests. One Michigan attorney described it as taking a sledgehammer to an ant. So as the pressure has mounted, last week Whitmer has started to walk back some of these restrictions, but even then the walk back is ridiculous. There are pages of rulings allowing for landscapers and lawn service companies, bike repair shops. You can now play golf, but golf carts are not allowed. You can now travel between 2 homes, but only if it's an emergency. So we ask, like, what's wrong with this woman? Is she a germaphobe? Does she have control issues? Does she have irrational fears? Does she not understand how biology works? Why is she so much into government paternalism? What is her driving worldview? Is this moral evil or is this stupidity? Now, apparently her husband is more passive. The news media revealed that over the Memorial Day weekend, Whitmer's husband, Mark Mallory, called to have his boat at their vacation home put in the water. Now, this was right after Whitmer told the state in a news conference, if you don't live in northern Michigan, stay away from those regions. Don't go to your vacation home. So her own husband doesn't follow her rules. So can you imagine the fight between her and her husband after that news broke? I mean, I could hear her husband saying, come on, Gretchen. I'm not going to pick up the virus going out on my boat in the lake. I'm not going to spread it to my neighbors. And she wags her finger at her husband saying, no, Mark. You can't take the risk. Nobody's allowed to take that risk. And by the way, her husband is actually a doctor. And even he has no problem with going boating with the COVID-19 virus out there. So what is wrong with Governor Whitmer? Now, somebody might say that this paternal thing is a woman thing. It is true, compared to men, women are more risk adverse. Women value security more than men. Men tend to value freedom more than security. Women also tend to favor Democrat socialism. Here's an interesting statistic that most people are unaware of. If it weren't for the woman vote, not a single Democrat would have won the presidency of the United States. There is a 4 to 11% difference in women voting in favor of the Democrats. And that margin is enough to win elections for many Democrats. So why do women vote Democrat more often? Some explain it as women, especially single women, looking to the government for their security. They want the government to protect them more. They feel more vulnerable than men. They want the government to be their safety net. Hence, socialism fits their personal needs. Governor Whitmer's parents divorced when she was 10 years old. Maybe she doesn't trust men or the family for security. She looks to the government. So paternalism in politics could be a gender thing, but it could also be a personality thing. Some people by nature are more paternal, more nurturing, more social. Did you ever meet an elementary school teacher? They tend to be nurturers, and they sometimes treat adults like their students. They expect everyone to be in a straight line. Everyone needs to sit up straight in their chairs. There has to be a planned procedure for passing out milk and cookies. You know, I'm glad that there are elementary teachers in this world because I don't have the patience for it. If I was a teacher, I would let chaos reign in the first grade class. I'm just not big on rules. So maybe paternalism is a personality thing. Just something that's about differing gifts. Now back to articles about the philosophy of paternalism. Philosophers speculate all sorts of reasons why some people are paternalistic. They mostly look at it as an information thing. Soft paternalism is where the state passes rules only because people do not know the dangers. Hard paternalism is where the state passes rules even if the people know the dangers and are willing to take the risk themselves. For hard paternalists, even if the public has the information, they believe that the experts and the wise people running the state ought to make the decisions. Then there is moral versus welfare paternalism. Welfare paternalism is a belief that the state should simply protect people's health, physical health. Moral paternalism is the belief that the state should protect the morals of the people, outlawing pornography or gambling or forcing people to accept LGBTQ. Then there are issues surrounding the purpose of paternalism. Is interference in people's freedom paternalism for the purpose of the good of the state? or for the purpose of the good of the individual? What's the goal? The success of the individual or the government? Now, as far as arguments against government paternalism, without having God or the Bible, the argument is that paternalism is wrong because autonomy is a significant part of a person's good. But says who? What if someone comes along and says, I believe my good is to not be autonomous. I want the government to be my parent. I feel better having the government make decisions for me. So who is to say that the individual's right to autonomy is a legitimate human right? That it's the greater good? And who defines the greater good? You see, without God and the Bible, the whole idea of intrinsic human rights, the right to self-rule, cannot be proved. Without God, without being made in the image of God, without a divine lawgiver, maybe we're like the bees or the ants in the colony, where the good of the colony must come before the good of the individual, and then you get communism and tyranny, people become tools of the state, worker bees, drones. Without God, who's to say that in Star Wars, the Empire of Darth Vader is wrong and the rebels of the Republic are right? In Hindu philosophy, the philosophy of the Force, right and wrong are two sides of the same coin. Darkness and light have to simply be in balance. So again, without the moral law of God, anti-paternalists have to come up with pragmatic arguments against paternalism, such as the problem with government paternalism is that governments are often influenced by special interest groups that are not for the good of the general public, but only for the good of a business or a political party. And the other argument against paternalism is that the individual has a better firsthand knowledge of how to direct his own life rather than government experts who are far removed from the situation. It's a knowledge problem. And that's why Cuomo's and Murphy's policy of sending COVID patients back into nursing homes is such a big deal, and why the conservative right is making it such a big deal. Because the foundational argument for the rightness of government paternalism is that government experts know better how people should behave than individuals do. And the nursing home failures undermines the whole philosophy of paternalism, and hence these government lockdowns. If it can be proven that the government makes a mess of things and that individuals make better choices, from a pragmatic point of view, paternalism crumbles. But what I want us to see in all this is that without the Bible, there is no conclusive way of determining whether governmental paternalism is right or wrong. In reading up on the subject, philosophers are grasping at the wind looking for answers. Since they refuse to acknowledge God and his moral law, because for them that would be anti-intellectual, they are left to judge everything simply according to human need. Everything is about biological, psychological need, a need for safety versus reward, long-term gain versus short-term gain. And if there are any errors in policy, in government systems, it's not moral sin. It's simply a lack of knowledge. In secular philosophical thought, if people were fully informed concerning the rewards and the consequences of every action, people would always choose the right path. So for secular philosophers and ethicists, man's problem is only an information problem. But the Bible explains that all policy mistakes have a moral, spiritual dimension. People do stupid things because they harbor sinful attitudes. And yes, there are degrees of culpability based upon motives. And yes, there are personality differences and gender differences. There are high-risk A-type personalities and low-risk B-type personalities. But ultimately, policies of government paternalism are a spiritual moral failure. And the classic biblical teaching on this is 1 Samuel chapter 8, where the Bible describes government paternalism as a moral evil, something that people do when they forsake God. The more I come to understand 1 Samuel chapter 8, the more I see its timeless political significance. The elders of Israel, each of the 12 tribes had ruling elders, came to the prophet Samuel and asked Samuel to anoint for them a king. They knew if they were to sell the idea of a king, the king had to have some sort of legitimacy, the approval of the religious leaders. Samuel rejected the request of the people and explained to them how the king will not make their lives easier or more secure. The king will just be an added layer of bureaucracy to take their money. You don't need a nanny state. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 19, "Nevertheless, the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, 'No, but there shall be a king over us, that we might be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us to fight our battles.'" So notice the people want the government to fight their battles, to take their personal responsibilities. And there are a lot of people today who want the government to fight all their battles. Their healthcare battles, their education battles, their retirement battles. They want the government to be their parent, their safety net. So what was God's response? Did God come to Samuel and say, "Well, Samuel, the country of Israel has matured and now the country needs to enter into the stage of socialism"? Or did God come to Samuel and say, "Well, the personality of Israel at this time is that these people are just low risk takers. They just value safety over freedom, and that's okay"? No, God did not give any of those modern psychological explanations for people wanting a paternal government. God said to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'Listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Like all the deeds which they have done since the day I brought them up from the land of Egypt to this day, in that they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also.'" So the problem was a spiritual, moral problem. Because the leaders and the people abandoned God, it resulted in a subconscious desire for governmental paternalism. It wasn't just a personality thing or circumstantial needs. It was sin. And notice the text says, they did this like all of the sinful deeds which they have done before, like idolatry. Governmental paternalism is part of the package of sin. "Show me a nation of idolaters, and I will show you a nation that wants socialism. Show me a nation of adulterers, and I will show you a nation that wants statism." And so in 1 Samuel chapter 12, God judges the nation for wanting a powerful government to fight their battles. Verse 17, "Is not the wheat harvest today? I will call to the Lord, and he may send thunder and rain. Then you will know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord by asking for yourself a king." Paternalism is a moral evil. It is not just a different preferred way of governance. There's a whole lot more that can be said about this. There are many other details to fill in, but I'm out of time. Thank you for listening today, and thank you for including God and Country as one part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to see your truth clearly in a world filled with lies. May your will be done on earth, even as it's done in heaven. In the name of Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.